shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
As we turn tonight to our subject of the Mark of the Beast, it is with a continuing realization that this great nation under God was designed and developed out of a blueprint of divine purpose known before the foundation of the earth. That in the days of the migrations and developing of our society, the Almighty God made His proclamations unto patriarchs and unto prophets, proclaimed to those that constituted His household and His race the great purposes of destiny that He had for these people. Among them, of course, was the establishment of this great nation of His kingdom in this land which He had already prepared by His own declaration, repeated by the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah, given in purpose and intent unto His servant David when he stood by the coronation stone. He promised a land far beyond the waters that were to the westward out of the lands of North Africa and Western Europe, promised a land beyond the great waters in which He would produce a great and final location for a great nation of His kingdom, a place where they could move to and never be moved again, a place though there would be attempted oppression where they would triumph. The land, as we have cited to you by measure, where the great gargantuan redwood trees would be blooming. The place where they would grow with the timelessness of the purposes of God's creation when He planted them there. A land where myrtle wood would grow, even as it did in Palestine. Numerous identifying factors concerning His kingdom, and no place on the face of the earth that these things happen but in this area of North America and in these United States. In our redwood belt, we have the only gargantuan redwood trees since the mighty cedars of Lebanon. We are the only place where we can find in the northern part of our own state the growing myrtlewood tree. This great nation, blessed with rivers and blessed with all that God promised to bless it with in all of the geological purposes of the past with which He had given it richness, for here we discover all the minerals that are vital to our society. We discover at every turn the preparations of God which He had promised when He made His covenants with our forefathers. There can be no question about the fact that North America was to play a very vital part in the plan and the purposes of God. And we as citizens of the most powerful nation in the Western world should be happy tonight in our inheritance and our heritage because our nation is in the Bible prophecies of the Scripture. At the same time, we are involved in the problems that face all of our race, because this nation is basically a white race nation and a Christian nation. I think it's rather pointed out that even the liberals and the socialist-minded, including all of the affecting clergy, understand this tonight. For instance, when Dr. Carson Blake, who spoke out as the new head of the National Council of Churches, and called on a cessation of our war against the Vietcong, he said it would be a very dangerous thing with great difficulties if we were to be triumphant in our war against the Vietcong, because it would be the image of a white nation overcoming an Asian nation and of a Christian society forcing its will on an Asiatic society. He said, America is a white nation preeminently and as such has no right to enforce its will upon an Asian society. I totally disagree with Mr. Carson Blake because this man has no right to even be associated with the Christian church in any form because he doesn't believe in the deity of Christ and has no faith in His resurrection. But I point out that he did make one thing rather clear, even in his liberal mind, which believes in a total integration of all races and a total creation of a world society. He made his admission that he recognizes the United States as a white nation, and that its basic philosophy and religion is Christian. World communism is, from one end of the earth to the other, the political policy of the Antichrist. We have long been told in biblical prophecy that an ultimate struggle for the earth would take place. We are engaged tonight in facets of that ultimate struggle. And even in the midst of that struggle with the policies of our government supposedly aimed at either defeating or containing communism and making it spread stop, the invasion of our society of unassimilatable peoples whose policies and ideas are diametrically opposed to both the structure of the best interests of your race and your nation are gaining more areas of affluence and be given more areas of creating discord in our nation. Until we fight communism far from our shores, we permit its expansion and its spread inside of our nation. What America needs is to wage an all-out war on communism at home as well as abroad. Many people are at loss to understand what strange changes have taken place in our society. They wonder why it is that suddenly there is an upsurge among Negroes of revolt against the white man. They wonder why they move in their beatnik processions with the low depravity and moral degeneracy of their exhibitions like the Selma Montgomery March. They wonder why, as they riot in the daytime, as they burn down cities and shoot at firemen and wage war against police, that government agencies and investigations seem to be falling all over themselves to make excuses for their low-graded conduct. They wonder at the same time, while these people are showing every area of emotional irresponsibility and mental immaturity, that leaders in our government should be doing all they can to see that more influence is given into their hands and that they have more to say about the direction of our country, or seem to be concerned about going all out to see that all of them vote whether they can read or write or not. Someone says, why? Because there are forces at work today which are seeking to create a deterioration in our society, stirring up all areas of the peoples within our nation, according to their brackets, into problem and trouble to make it easier to get emergency power to take over all the facets of American life. I'm going to tell you that I don't believe the President of the United States gives one fig about the Negroes anywhere in the United States and what they get or don't get. And you can give all the hypocritical lip service you want and implement all the policies, but I think the whole thing is done in order to gain areas of political power. I believe the interest tonight is to create more and more friction so that uprisings will increase, and in the emergencies which they create, make it possible to use emergency power and executive orders from the status of all of the filed and created laws that exist now for such emergency under the executive decrees. The rather significant thing that when we survey the problems of this great nation, a nation that has been able to produce more than any nation per capita on the face of the earth, a nation who can produce so much food that they're even now suggesting that we feed the whole world, a nation that has the greatest technological abilities for the masses of its peoples and for its society that have ever been demonstrated. Surely, as a great nation in the kingdom of God, this nation, the outstretched wings of the eagle, has stood at the apex of achievement. But at this very moment, we are threatened with some of the greatest catastrophes that have ever threatened great nations in the past. We've watched unassimilatable peoples come in to try to change the status quo of our civilization. Many of them were permitted to come in as refugees, and they were cunningly coming in that they might carry out the background of the agencies and institutions which they serve. Great numbers of these institutions were tied in with all the various facets and programs of the world revolution of socialism and communism and the Antichrist. Now it is important that we view these situations from the foundations of reality. When we talk to you about the fact that we are battling for survival, I want you to understand that all the white nations of the Western world are battling tonight for survival, and they have behind them a prophetic destiny ordained of God to spread their civilization and to bring their culture to the apex, to conquer the darkness, overthrow evil, and liberate the earth. But it can only be done by victory over evil. It can only be done by the standards of divine law. Make this clear in your minds. God's program for the earth does not call for the integration of men or of races. It calls for the superiority of his household carrying forward their high calling and responsibility to rule the earth with righteousness and with the laws of God. Do not think that the clergy today
who have demonstrated their repudiation of the fundamentals of their church, who have denied the areas of responsible theology, who have made it a point that they're not interested in the deity of Christ or in the laws of God, but in some strange kind of new society of mongrelized race and religion. These are not the voices of God, and they are not the voices of His church today. I point out to you, you cannot solve the problems of today's world by making them increasingly difficult and by destroying the areas of vision, by mongrelizing and integrating their society and losing them their spiritual precepts. If God were to step into the world today, and soon He will, His reappearance and reentrance will be the same God that left it when last He left it, the areas of His own ascension. In such an hour that Yahshua Jesus, who is the only King of kings and Lord of lords, and the scripture tells us the only potentate of the earth, shall come in to put down evil. The first thing He's going to do is discriminate. My, how He's going to discriminate. It's going to be one of the most important areas of segregation in human history. They're just going to start separating people, white from black, white from Asiatic, and separate the nations, even if they think they're caught in the United Nations, but this will fall apart very soon. He's going to separate the sheep nations from the goat nations, the white nations and the Christian nations from the pagan nations. He, the eternal God, our Father, who declared, "You have seen me, hath seen the Father," will say, "Now you sheep nations, you take over this world. I prepared this for you from the foundation of the world. And you rule over these goat nations, and you make them obey the law. And you rule with the inflexibility of a rod of iron with righteousness. Set people free from all of the patterns of inequities, of misapplied patterns of justice. You set them free from graft and corruption. You set them free from the patterns of revolution. You rise, you rule, and you rule with righteousness with an inflexible rod of iron." Someone said, "That's just an imaginary hope." Well, it's the thing that Jesus taught. Now I'm going to tell you something. Your race is going to go farther. Your faith is going to achieve more if you follow the instructions of what Jesus taught than if you surrender to the mongrelization and integration of your society. Do not for one moment think that it is bad to resist the masses of people in the world. Do not think it is bad for white Christian nations to oppose the masses of pagans on the face of the earth. You were set down here as a race to rise and rule. Not, my friends, to make abject surrender or appeasement to the darkness. For some time, the church thought that the accomplished purposes of the kingdom would be accomplished by going all over the world and spreading the gospel of the identity of a true God. They thought that out of this evangelism, the world would turn Christian and acknowledge this by bowing the knee before Christ. Do not think, my friends, in a world in which you are outnumbered, in which witch doctors and political chicanery of Satan's kingdoms, with its lie and with all the superficial patterns of its evil philosophies, with its superstition, with its darkness and its accompanying catastrophe, is going to surrender before the truth of the kingdom of God when they would like to challenge it and break it, destroy its power, mongrelize its race, and destroy your destiny. We have now engaged in almost 2,000 years of missionary activity. We even disobeyed the instructions that God gave the Apostle Paul and some of the others of his disciples when He forbade them to go into Asia and these other areas as the area of gathering up His church because His people were not located there. He said, "I've come to call my sheep by name." And then He sent them out also to those that had the capacity to receive. And it already revealed in the 14th chapter of John that only those that had been His celestial household transferred to earth, that came into the world by physical birth, that had the Spirit of the living God, could understand what He had to say anyhow, and that the Spirit would work with them and unveil with them and build within them a great renewing of their mind and their consciousness and build His civilization and His culture. After almost 2,000 years of evangelism, the Negroes are trying to eat us up again in Africa. The pagans are driving churches out of the continent of Asia, and their design now is to rule their hour with the Antichrist, and they look upon the Western world as spoil. Someone said, "How would you bring the kingdom in?" I would back up missionary with army, and I would back up, my friends, the standards of law and righteousness with the power that we have to enforce it. Too long we have left the freedoms of decision to destroy and create in the hands of the tyrants and the forces of darkness. The eternal God, our Father, speaks out in the book of the Psalms. Says, "How long are the heathen going to rage and imagine a vain thing?" They want to break off responsibility. They don't want to be retarded by the laws to obey. They don't want the progress that comes from righteousness. They hate God. They hate His household. They hate your nations. God says, "I hold this in derision."
because they are not going to overthrow my purpose, my plan, my revealed embodiment for my children. We have brought technology and light to the ends of the earth. We have fought superstition and darkness. We have fought illiteracy. We have fought filth and disease. We have brought progress and advancement, and we have always fought the darkness trying to destroy it. And in this period of time, they're trying to sell us on the good progress of all religions. They want us to accept the great advantages that men have out of worshiping gods, irrespective of who the gods is or how it's done. More and more, day by day, week by week, we must get across to the mind of our race that God, who is our Father, hath ordained standards, and one of which is that we shall recognize no other gods. Number two, we shall not join ourselves to pagans until we have set them free by smashing their pagan temples and destroying their foxish religion. I'm not concerned tonight about feeding Hindus under Hinduism. I would be willing to assist in feeding people that have rejected Hinduism and its pagan philosophy. Its multitude of demon gods, its filth, and all that goes with it is even articulated in the images of their gods, in the friezes around their temple, in the panorama of it. Today, the trend of the beast is to sell his wicked ways to all the world, and in some guise, either in color or art, make you accept that which is evil and join it with what you yourselves have been taught to believe, as though this is a compendium of knowledge that you must absorb. We are building temples of all religions. In Washington, a temple of all religions, like an evil six-pointed star of jewelry, spreads out. The Jews are in one corner, and the Hindus are in another. And every type of evil religion is represented there, and Christianity is set in one point of it, with Jesus, not God, but a man. I have a list of the names of the contributors of officials that went along with this, and the most powerful influence behind it was jewelry. This, my friends, is the creation of the religious system of the beast. I want to make it quite clear that when we talk about the mark of the beast, this may relate also to the countenance of some people, to their racial origin and background, and to the assent to the work of the beast and the putting of one's hand to accomplish its purpose. The scripture divides the peoples of earth into two classifications. Now there exists possibly a third, and sometimes a fourth. But as to where they stand, they fall into one bracket or the other. The kingdom of God is made up of Adamites. The Adamites are the white race, with a spiritual origin in the heavens and a physical embodiment through birth into the earth. They carry the holy seed. They are the offspring of God. He has identified himself with them, and in his messiahship was not ashamed to call them his relatives and his kinsmen. Prophet Isaiah said that his birth was unto us, and he was the everlasting God, the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the relationship of the scripture, there is a word in the Hebrew called Enosh. Enosh means beast people. They lack the spirit of the living God. Some of them were created and went retrograde under the Luciferian revolt. Some of them, like the Negroes, came in during the battles and wars of the Luciferian resistance, and their seed was sowed all over the earth. In Africa, under Budas, a fallen angel, they increased in their numbers. In the Isles of the Sea, the processes of this evil religion of Budas spread. In Jamaica, in the Isles of the Sea, anywhere you find Negroes, you find Voodooism. You may say that over this country, there are a lot of them that are Christian. Then it has been a great advantage for them to be taken out of the jungles and brought over here, make no mistake about it, under any condition. But also recognize that their spiritual capacities are limited to a soulishness. And that the witch doctor comes along and takes them back. The Mohammedans come along and with a stellar philosophy take them back. And modern Muslimism in the United States is not true Mohammedanism. It's a black combination of devil worship and Satanism. Now you talk about the progress which they may have made in this country. If they've made any progress, it's under your influence and under your guidance. And if they would arise to control, it would all go retrograde and the whole country go down. When we talk about the Adamites, we talk about the white man. They're the people of the book. They're the Israel of the Bible. They're the white nations of the Western world. Someone said, Dr. Swift, this is racist. Just as racist as it can possibly be. Someone says racism is bad for the world. The racism of God is the salvation of the earth.
He set a house on from heaven to earth to build a kingdom, and they want to bring it down to the status of the beast system of earth and lose it all its power.
Do not tell me that God does not select, and he does not discriminate, and he doesn't recognize a people above other people. Don't tell me God believes in total equality and believes everybody's alike. God does not do that. He calls for his own household. He calls by his laws for their separation and their segregation. He repudiates the policies of integration. He tells them to preserve the holy seed. He said, I've set you above all the peoples on the face of the earth. I give continence for you. This is what I think of you, God says, because you are my race, my household, my seed. Then he discriminates even when he calls. When God walked the earth, he called his sheep by name and led them out. He said to the goats, he said, you couldn't even understand what I say. I want to tell you something. God never spent any time trying to gather Jews. Did you know that? Because of all the cursed spawn of darkness on the face of the earth, they took the leadership. Jesus said, I'm of God, you're of the devil. So we understand one another. This is why you can't leave. This is why you do your devilish work all the time. I'm going to tell you tonight that the beast system, this is the control politically by a Luciferian plan of all the non-spirit peoples of the world. This calls for the gathering of all pagan religions, all pagan races, into a political institution led by Luciferian offspring with false religions as their philosophy and Christianity and the white nations as their target. I don't think for a moment that because the spiritual capacities of your race give unto you the highest intelligence level in the world, and because you have the Spirit of God to give you more know-how than any people on the face of the earth, and you are the have-nations, not the beast nations, but you are the have-nations, and the beast systems are the have-not nations of the earth, because God's blessing and the adaptation to any area of environment is dependent upon vision and initiative, which God said, I give to my sons and my daughters, not to the darkness. Do not forget that Lucifer filled up the sum of wisdom and cunning in the day of his revolt. Remember also that the strange and peculiar affinity which he has is to try to control men by controlling what he considers to be the standard of riches, gold, silver, jewels, money. And as the scriptures warned us in this climactic hour of struggle at the end of the age, that the battle would be a battle of attempted manipulation of economy and the way to crush a people who you cannot get to accept their pagan philosophies, or you cannot get to approve the policies by which the revolution against the standards of righteousness are complete, is to gain control of their economy and withdraw from them the right to purchase food and clothing and housing, or to pass this over in the hands of a dictatorship which is completely captive to the forces of Antichrist. Someone said, are you a pacifist, Dr. Swift? Are you against war? No, my friends, I am not a pacifist. I am not against war. I'm just against defeat. You remember when we let the Jew stooges pull a phony president? And we were trying Germans for war crimes when they served their nation? And we said, someday this is going to boomerang because this is a program of the devil. Soldiers are not to be tried for serving their country. Especially when most of the solicitor generals and others that prepared those war crime trial programs lied, perjured, and bought and paid for perjured testimony. Like the Katyn massacre, in which some of the flower of the German army and its officers were sentenced under the lying preparation of Jew solicitors in your military service, that they had murdered and shot down these Poles in their own graves after they surrendered. And these men were sentenced to death. And your secret service discovered it wasn't done by the Germans. It had been done by the Russians, who were supposedly your allies. And that they had killed these people because they were taking over Poland. And they knew that these same people would be as much resistance against them as they had been against the Germans. So they liquidated them. When they entered in, they liquidated them. President Eisenhower was then in command when the secret service came to him and told him to stay the execution. These men are not guilty. But this would have thrown a question on all the war crime trials because the same liars had prepared the whole thing. So Mr. Eisenhower said, it's better they die than to disturb the good relations between America and Russia. They must have done something bad anyhow. Because he knew that all war was hell. And we bombed civilians just like they did. Remember the great flaming cities of Europe under the bombing attack. War is war. It is unfortunate when men of a similar race, with the background of a similar faith, fight one another for the machinations of the beast. But when our nation is engaged in war, we have only one thing to do, and that's win it.
But when it comes to seeing men executed for something they didn't do, all who were a part of that are guilty of murder tonight. But when we murdered patriots for serving in their government after they were captured and after the war was over, I said at that time, this seed sowed will someday be coming home to roost. You don't know Christ. You're just remembering when he came with all the infinite pattern of his mercy to hang on Calvary's cross, to pay for an atonement, to take a guilt complex off of you, and to give you life. The next time you see him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his glistening armor, saying the Lord is a man of war to make war on the darkness and the enemies of his civilization, there'll be no mercy at the point of that sword, and the blood will flow to the horse's bit. The world has had its chance to bend its knee. Next time it'll bend its knee at the point of the sword. And I tell you, this is the will of God. We could show you what Jesus even explained in this in the book of Luke, concerning how he would handle the opposition of these evil priests, as it was in the days of the prophet Baal and the prophets of Baal in the days of Elijah. Jesus said, you just bring hither these my enemies that would not that I should reign over them and slay them before me. That's in the Gospel of Luke. The beast system is made up of all non-spirit people. When I say this, I mean you, man, spirit of the living God, you Adamite or Aryan. Today, the leaders of the Luciferian strategy are the members of his family that Jesus identified. And as such, they boast about their peculiar affinity to all areas of things financial. You know who manipulates the wars and who seeks to put white nation against white nation? Or would hurl you against the political power that it financed and created in order to keep you in battle against it? Organized world financial jewelry controlling the world banking systems of the earth. I believe in United States banks that are responsible to Congress to operate on an interest-free basis, which is constitutional. And I think there should be a dollar in circulation for every dollar's worth of goods there is to buy. I think a nation that can create so much should be a nation of plenty and not scarcity, but not by taxes or by dole or by confiscation of your property or redistribution of the shock troops of the revolution. The beast system tonight is made up of the world socialist communist plan and offensive, aiming at a world government and a world society governed by an elite core that will rule the world under this policy of Antichrist. It'll be eventually and completely Jewish dominated. And if any of these so-called intellectuals whose minds they have captured will be in positions of authority, it'll only be as the puppets and tools, as I consider the president and many of his cabinet tonight. We are not against the president of the United States, but when he embraces the strategy of a world government coming to build a world socialist society, with its mechanical steel and stone cities, planned and plotted to be the residence in which you will be appointed, a dictatorial world provincial pattern of cities, under the control of the Antichrist. Whether he knows it or not, or those round about, their whole urban program, their whole city planning program, their whole socialist pattern under the commission of these democratic institutions, as they call it, under the United Nations, is nothing but the master plan, Antichrist program, of controlling with federal police and world police and with all kinds of socialist policies the lives of all the people, each one assigned to its area inside of these communities. It takes away your independence. It takes away your freedom. It takes away your property. They say, yes, but then it was too intricate a society. We have to do this to make sure that you get enough to eat. They're trying to scare us now into this surrender by telling us that because of the modern technology and the pattern of the machine, that individuals must be harnessed to this, and that we must therefore find a way to distribute all of the things created by the machine to everybody that must be done by government. Nobody can own it. Everybody's got to own the machines, and this is the policy. All it spells up to is communism, socialism, and you the slave. Oh, they say, yes, but it'll give you security. You can live to your old. Well, people have been doing that anyhow. Did you know that? They promise you that you can be born. They promise you you can eat. They promise you that when they die, they'll bury you. And I've been going around the country for a long time, never found anybody they didn't do this for, without government help. Oh, you say, but we'll never have it like this. It's going to be filled with amusement. They're going to pipe to us our religion, and they're going to tell us when we can dance to the piper. The mark of the beast. You say, well, I own my home, or I rent my house, or I'm buying it now. I'm not going to surrender to this. The only reason why you're not going to surrender to it, if we can set fire to enough people to say no. You say, I can go to my job and not be dictated by these policies. You don't know about that because your right to work is gradually being deprived from you. The program of the Antichrist is rather clear. The beast system is made up of non-white races, Jewish leadership, communist politics, and false religion. I read these words. I saw people who worship the dragon and gave power to the beast. Says, who's like to the beast? Who can make war with him? It's world government, world institutions. It's the most expansive area of government power. Who can resist it? Then I heard what it said. The only people that had courage enough to speak out were true Christians. They said, this invades our liberty. This denies us our property. This affects our religion. This causes us to support the darkness. This causes us to integrate and join with those that hate our God and don't have the background of our race. This causes us to violate divine law. We're not going to do it. And then they said, all right, then we'll make war on you and put you to death. And power is in the hands of the beast. And he makes war on Christians. And he blasphemes God. And he blasphemes his tabernacle. And he blasphemes those that dwell on earth. And he makes war with the saints, the believing offspring of God, to overcome them and overpower them. And he has power over all the kindreds of all the nations. But the heart of the kingdom itself. And now he's trying to get it here. There wouldn't be any battle of Armageddon, you know, if the Antichrist one took over America. That means we're going to have to throw him out of here real quick. Because if he had everything, there wouldn't be anything left to fight. The power of the false prophet, false religions, the Luciferian household, raised up the last of the prophetic kingdoms of darkness that God talked about as the man Christ Jesus when he gathered the hordes out of Asia of Genghis Khan. And from Venice, in the inner citadels of world Jewry, they utilized Shui Fei Noyan, the Chinese Jew advisor, and his messengers back and forth to direct and supply the needs of Genghis Khan for the conquest they brought to the world. Especially a Christian civilization, so they would place it beneath its grasp. And these men were their minions, and this conqueror, but their tool. The hand of God stepped in. And when at the very gates of Vienna, the hordes of Asia were storming. Baghdad and Samarkand had fallen. The gates of the Caucasus had been forced. And around the areas of the Scythians and in they had come. They had swept over the land of the Turkmen. They had added them to their Mongol hordes till Turco-Mongols rode over the steppes, and they were attacking the Christian cities of Europe. The churches saw within it the Antichrist. From the earliest pattern of its attack, southern Rome cried out, the Antichrist and his hordes come out of the east to attack. All the way up to the days of Martin Luther, when a few centuries, 4 or 5 centuries ago, we hear the voice of others still pointing out those words. And Martin Luther had said, these are the hordes of Antichrist and the false prophet of Jewry, the enemies of Christendom, leads them. Exposes the areas of the loot and the treasure, points out the places to take and storm, wears a yellow armband to identify them that they are to be given an exemption because they're Jews. You know, if there's anything that they did in Germany that I approve of during the Third Reich, it was making all Jews go back and wear the yellow armband again so you'd know who they were. You say, why is that? Because this is what they voluntarily wore when they betrayed all of Christian civilization of the hordes of Asia in the days of Genghis Khan. They ought to always wear the armband, and then people would know. Someone said, you can't do that. That'd be discrimination. Well, I think it's about time we had a little discrimination in favor of Christian civilization. This beast received its wound unto death, spoken of here in the 13th chapter of Revelation. Genghis Khan died. His body was taken back to the bier set up in the great city of the high steppes at Lhasa. And then, in the years that followed, his descendants and his leaders fought for power, but none of them had the tenacity or the brilliance to carry forward the vastness of the conquest. They battled among themselves. They had taken over the Russians. They had taken over the areas up to the Caucasus. They made their continued invasion clean up to the day of Martin Luther's time, when the great knighthood of Germany and the knighthood of Britain and the forces that came from one end of the continent of Europe to the other, even a conquer dot between Luther and the Pope, that all Christendom might resist the Antichrist at one time. And then the death of Genghis Khan, which had preceded before, the resistance and the strength of knighthood now rising to resist it, and they broke the beast at that sweep. But then, losing themselves in identity and seeking to gain total control of the economic life of nations, Satan's children, the first beast that gave power to the second, went to work again. To move into the areas of financial aptitude, to wage war on Christendom by joining its church to contend its doctrines. I recommend that every Christian go to the library and secure the book Maranos, written by Roth and published by the American Jewish Publication Society. It's the Jews' own story of how they penetrated Christianity to destroy it, to gain control of its finance, to get into its treasury, to get themselves accepted so they could enslave your race. About the time someone wants to talk about the Negro, let me tell you something. The reason why Negroes were brought over here in slave ships and sold was because the Jews were the head of this business, and they boast about it in their own books. These are not emancipators. They merely use people for their own purpose. I think there should be a settlement of the Negro question. I think every Negro should be subsidized to the point of being relocated in Nigeria or somewhere back in Africa. And I believe if they have attained any area that they feel that qualifies them for anything like a status of equality, that their greatest contribution should be to their own people.
should be the building to create a civilization and a culture that could be identified with them under the progress of their instruction. And if they've attained what they said they've attained, it would be demonstrated then in a great new thriving society somewhere in Africa, which they claim to be their own. So there's a lot of them who want to go. That's quite possible, because the Jews talk about wanting a national homeland, as we said, in Palestine. And then after the mistake of Mr. Truman and the recognition of Israel ally by the United Nations, most of the Jews don't go there. More of them are in the United States and all the rest of the world put together. And I pray that we'll have leadership that will not send one American boy over to help the Jews. If the Arabs devour them, they have asked for it and they have earned it. I point out to you then that the way in which they designed to control is to gain all control of your ways of life. When Karl Marx, the son of a Jewish rabbi, wrote Das Kapital, and eventually Kuhn Loeb Company, Jacob Schiff's family, and the Rothschilds, and the Warburgs, and all the powerful Jewish financial families, they backed it. And Jacob Schiff and Company, whose banking enterprises were in the United States, put up the money that made successful the overthrow of the Tsar and the Red Revolution. And the Warburg banks, Jew banks in Germany, financed the building of the Bolshevik power. Then Warburgs were responsible also for financial influences that created the Civil War. In the days then in which the Communist Revolution grew and spawned, we had the fulfillment of the prophecy. The first beast gave power again to the second beast, whose wound was nigh unto death, to rise and move. So world communism gave back to the political hordes of Asia, the racial hordes of Asia, the power that made the force of Genghis Khan back its strength. World Jewry financed the rise of the communist horde, gave power for the short season of the beast. The kingdom of Lucifer has no spirit of God. And now embodied in earth at its lowest symbolism, its spirit is the spirit of darkness. Its soul is the consciousless soul of the forces of evil. Its humanism is at the level of its number 666, spirit, soul, and body. The kingdom operates on 777. Seven is the divine number of the household of God. We are told that in this latter day, the spread of this political system of the beast would seek to take over all the earth. That as the Antichrist forces of Jewry would use all power over the first beast, who would try to get people to start worshiping the social order and give all strength unto the beast, and who would lead it. Then we are told the power is given to the image of the beast. And in our day, the very image of the beast would speak and cause as many as would not worship the beast to be killed. Someone says, well, I don't see the image of the beast yet. Where is it? When I was a little boy, there were lots of evangelists that thought Rome was going to be the headquarters of the Antichrist. They thought a big statue was going to be raised up somewhere down there in Rome, and the whole world was going to have to turn to it and bow down to it. I'll tell you that irresponsibility may occur in various parts of the earth among Christendom. And there are areas of the ecclesiastical doctrine of Rome with which I disagree, but it is a church that recognizes that Jesus is the Christ, bears testimony to his virgin birth and his deity. It is not the Antichrist, and it is not the beast system. But the invasion of that church, even as we've had invasion in Protestantism in the world, by Jewry to condemn its doctrines, is admitted in their documents, and what area exists there they brought in, with Baalism as its foundation. The beast today not only works a war against the kingdom, but he's trying to sell you by mass control of ideas and idea warfare the program of the beast. If you're going outside and looking for a great statue of the beast, you're looking at the wrong place. You go in your house, you look at that strange eye that's glaring at you all day long and turn it on. And when you turn it on, here comes the world. The image of the beast comes into your home to try to sell you a bill of goods. And then, when the image of the beast comes in, and you don't buy what he has to sell because your Christian faith and your knowledge of prophecy has pointed out the area of error. Because as you listen to the truth, as you read your newspapers, as you watch what transpires, you are in revolt against the beast in the system. You are a right-winger, and the more you know, the harder core right-winger you become. Oh, they say, he's not worshiping the image of the beast. We're going to have to find some way to cut him off quickly. Understand this tonight. America has the right wing, America has the left wing. We used to have Republicans and Democrats. These parties are both captive tonight. We just have right wing and left wing. You say we have a middle of the road. They don't count. God spits them out, and so do we. Middle of the roaders never do anything. They never go anywhere. The reason why they're in the middle of the road, they haven't the courage of their convictions. or they don't have any convictions because it's already been used by liquor, sold out to lust, or by fear has held them silent.
I have more respect for my enemy tonight than I have from the person he's neutralized in the middle of the road. At least I know where he stands. I know what he'll do. Someone said, oh, if we could only get out there and convert the middle of the road. They've got their last chance right now. They better renew the first works of their ancestors. They better find their responsibility to the kingdom and to the household of God. Because soon, testing time like the crucible will come. And only gold tried in the fire, only steel tempered like a brilliant flame, will survive. Therefore, power is given to make the image of the beast talk. And the miracle of the talking beast is in our home. And all over the world, they listen to it talk. Oh, sometimes something else takes control and something else comes across. Oh, so it survived, but there's so much good entertainment on it. That's right. There's so many beautiful world travelogues on there, and we get the news there, we get more news there, and we get over the radio. That's right. I just say, don't turn it on. I just tell you that's the image of the beast, and don't bow down and worship it, and don't buy its propaganda, but speak back at it all over the world. I'm going to tell you what you're going to see one of these days on there that they can't stop. You know, there's coming one great big flash picture that's going to come on every TV set in all the world, and no matter turning the dial will turn it off. Because the master of electronics has synthesized the whole universe out of the organization of the elements of electricity is going to lock in a picture of the returning King of Kings and Lord of Lords that'll blot out everything. Wave on wave of majestic ships coming through the sky, the battle wagons of Michael shimmering with radiancy upon their metal hulls. Great blazing emblems of Yahweh God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, on the flagships coming in from space and be on every television set. For every eye shall see, no matter what part of the world you're on, every eye is going to see. It wasn't even possible until this generation. Yes, throughout the world, if you get out of step with your voice or with your approbation to this program of the Antichrist, they'll find a way to liquidate you. Send you to the salt mines, destroy you. And you, the greatest station of God's kingdom, are challenged to resist and break this. So therefore, he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive the mark in their right hand and their forehead. He extended his beast program till men could not buy nor sell except they had the mark or the name or the number of the name in their hand or in their forehead, that they had been brainwashed to accept it and use their mind to its work, or put forth their hands to carry out its objectives. You say, well, of course, we're still free in the United States. If you think you're free, what do you suppose the President of the United States got up for in that State of the Nation message and said, I'm going to call on the Congress of the United States to pass a law that abolishes all the right-to-work laws in the United States so we can have a uniformity all over the United States in all 50 states. There's 27 states in the United States that says that you do not have to join a union to work. He says, we can't have that. We've got to have all the same. I want an overthrow of the right-to-work laws. Now, what does that sound like? Oh, you say, well, of course, that's not important. You can always join the union. And the union may have some fellas that look like you, but behind them are all the shenanigans of the enemy. Behind them is the master control of the Antichrist. Well, look what labor has accomplished. Yes, labor has accomplished a lot of things. We don't deign say the necessity of labor to synthesize goods. And labor without management and without engineering and without technology, without instruction, would go nowhere. The American institutions do not need unionism. They need the law of Christ. Someone said, are you anti-union? I'm not anti-labor, but I'm tired, my friends, of the Sidney Hillmans that we had to clear with in the past. I'm tired of the influence of organized jewelry. I'm tired of the communists dedicated to Walter Reuthers and the Bridges. The Samuel Dubinskys. I'm tired of those that threaten that they'll tie up our transportation or close down our war industries in a time of emergency. But I also know that carrying out their socialist objectives with the propaganda they support, they would destroy your liberties, eventually your right to property and your liberty. This is the socialist demand. We outlined last week the policies of the Karl Marx revolution, the principles which meant income tax, which meant confiscation of private property, taking over of communications, nationalization of resources. We named the route. You're going this route. You, a great nation of God's kingdom, are not going all the way because we're going to decapitate the beast in America. I point out that in this strategy, in this design, they have been forever working to gain control, not only of economy, but of the right to work.
If they can deny you the right to work unless you pay tribute and become completely under assent to their program, then, my friends, they can discharge or remove or lay off any individual that doesn't go along and agree with the administration or with the Antichrist or doesn't put his mind to proclaim their work or contribute to its policy or set his hand to accomplish their purpose. The enemy robbed you of your gold, took you off the standard of your money at the gold level that was fixed way back in the days of your first constitutional conventions. And the right of Congress to establish the coinage and then to issue later currency that you could redeem in this coinage every time you wanted, it gave you money in the United States. But the Antichrist must control the money and must take it away from you so that you are dependent upon him or he can starve you to death. They took our gold and hauled it off to Switzerland and then to Tel Aviv. The last few months of the old year, they took away our silver. They're giving you copper slugs even for the last vestige of it, your quarter. And dimes in 1966 have no silver in them at all. No silver with that little coating on the half a dollar is not the standard that Congress fixed by weight. You are defrauded by the beast. America's silver certificate's now gone. As your golden certificates are gone, you have nothing in your hands but Federal Reserve notes. I think it rather interesting that Wright Patton made some statements concerning the Federal Reserve. And he's one of the most brilliant minds on banking we have in Washington. Let me read this to you. It is most significant, and here's what he said. The free use of the government's credit by banks should be used in public interest. It could only be justified to this point. The government can use only a part of its credit to finance schools, roads, and highways. The Federal Reserve operates this program through the control of its finance. Audits, without congressional supervision, the practices of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York that operates 9 directors, and 6 of whom are elected by New York banks, and have acquired $40 billion in United States bonds for 12 Federal Reserve banks in this area. Now, what do we discover here? That they have the power to extend or reject this money. We print the money, and they loan it to us on interest. And the government prints $1 million for use in public works, borrows it from the Federal Reserve, and you pay it with your taxes, and by the time you have paid the million, Mr. Patman, Honorable Wright Patman of Texas, who heads one of the great monetary areas of research in the Congress of the United States on the Money Committee, says the Federal Reserve System and these private banks get $1 million for every million the government spends. And you will pay twice what it costs, and you keep these parasites who have contributed nothing but have used your money or your creative ability, and printed the paper. This is what your government should do. This is what you, the people, should create through your representatives, the money you use. But the Antichrist says no man's going to be able to buy or sell, and so we got to get control of it. And they finally reach the point where every bill in your pocket tonight is a Federal Reserve note, and you have no silver left, you have no gold left, your money's gone. They say you're not going to be able to buy or sell one of these days unless you do business with it. Why do you say I'll spend their notes? They are planning that you shall not have any money. Let me point this out to you. I hold in my hands this week's United States News. Finance Week, page 108, coming, push-button banking. A checkless, cashless society is around the corner in the United States. It calls for two things. That you will have no money, but you will have a statement of what you've earned. And the bank will run a system in which everything you buy is bought with a card that's checked out against it. And when your card is put on a machine in any store, it automatically tells whether you can spend this money or not, or whether you've got a balance. In every bill you have, you must present their card to your bank, and it'll pay your milk bill, and it'll pay your rent, or it'll make your payment. And it will be like a highly indexed IBM card. There's a picture here. And if you have a phone system, you may have it put into your house. And you can put your card on it, and buy or sell on it, or press a button and get a statement on what you have left. But everything you buy and sell and everything you do becomes a record card for the bank and the government. It's all explained how it'll work. I'm going to tell you something. You might not know it. You say these are just natural policies of a developing new type of business administration. The program of the Antichrist is skillfully designing to take away all your privacy, to gain total control of your economy, and they have a stop button in which, as a seat, certain people buy, they punch their card or punch it in, a light comes up on the director at the institution, and this person is for punitive measures to be refused, and so his card's cut off. He cannot buy, he cannot sell, he has no money. He must conform. They said this will control crime, this will control patriotism. They say we'll cease crime. There'll be nothing to rob because no one can run away with wealth. Why? Because we've taken it all away from you. You can't even have any of it. You want to know where crime is? Crime is in these men who planned this out. Crime is in the whole socialist world government system. Crime is in the program of the Antichrist. Crime is in the mouths of priceless preachers and the politicians that have sold us out. Tell you something you may not know. The fee system controls banks. It has its hand in good banks, too. You remember when, over a year ago, you had to turn your social security number in to the bank? This was so they could check, they said, on all the earnings that you got out of interest. But I'm going to tell you something. Before you've gone through the next 6 months, your bank check number on the bottom is going to be your social security number for the one you turned in. Already, the calculations on the peculiar numbered and peculiar figures on the bottom of your check is fitting an IBM card in that bank. Well, you say, well, this is my institution. It's private. I go in there and do business. I can borrow. I can do anything I want. This is my business. But this institution makes money with money, and its services are to the money masters. Remember that. I don't care how nice that banker is and how well you know it. I don't care if he's your friend, your neighbor, and he's in there as a clerk. This is his job. He may be as honest as days long, but he is a servant of the money masters. I have bankers that are my friends, and I listen. They don't tell them my business. I'm going to tell you something you may not know. The federal government set up a short time ago in your income tax return a card system. It's an IBM multiplied machine in great areas. And every time you make a deposit in your bank, even your own private checking account, the IBM card at the bank whisks this all out. Every time you go down to buy an automobile, if it's to be financed, everything on that paper is fed into the machine, and it comes up with more dashes on the card. And then it compensates with a list before very long of all your possessions and all your fiscal worth. And then if you were to deposit more in your account than the salary you report when you pay your income tax, that is soon adjusted because a federal card and a bank card come together and the machine flashes down. And if there is more in one, the machine says, make him account for it. And inside of a year, you're going to be accounting. And if you put some money over three or four times that wasn't profit, and you paid honestly your income. Maybe you bought something for somebody in the next city and they gave you the money back and you put it back in your account. This is not profit. Maybe people gave you gifts and you put it in your account and this is not profit, but the machine said more than the salary. So now, by this process, federalism has their eyes on you and the world money masters have their eyes on you, and if their system helps to find an area of error in yours and there's anything corrected, they get a percentage. The movement of all monies that move through financial institutions will be so coordinated in scrutiny that it can be used even for the harassing of patriots, but it can be bypassed for the faithful. No man will buy nor sell unless he supports the system or you rise up and set yourself free again. For when your constitution was framed and when your constitutional Congress is convened, they ordained that no taxation would ever be legal in the United States that could end with the confiscation of the property of the individual or the placing of his freedom in jeopardy by incarcerating him because of the tax. The transaction taxes and tariffs had to be collected at the point wherein they accrued. It wasn't until World War II came along and afterwards that income taxes became any vital part of your living. So whereas, therefore, the record and the harassment, the power is being created for all-powerful state. But one of the most evil designs of the communist revolution was the income tax. Today, a manipulated area for the confiscation of your property. Someone said, we have to find taxes. We have to have money. Yes, we have the ability to produce the goods, and we have areas of taxation that are legal. Even the sales tax is legal, but the income tax is not.
When the Canaanites leave the house of God, they'll take their bank with them. You know, the moment you take the interest out of it, you'll be surprised how these rascals will drop it and run. No man will buy it or sell. Someone said, I'm waiting for people to get a stamp put on their forehead, 666. No, you just listen to their mouth and you'll find out what they got in their forehead. You just see what they put their hand to do. find what political policies they work for, how much they bought the promises of the Antichrist, and are depending on it for their security of tomorrow. What's the matter with your energy, your vision, your thrift, your creative ability? What's the matter, my friends, with the structure of the family as an economic unit? What's the matter with your responsibility to your parents as they have sacrificed for you?
The Antichrist is gathering his hordes, and he believes that he's going to cause you to fall politically from within and assault you militarily from without. If our silly leaders throw away our heavy weapons and we have to fight them with small arms, we're going to need the host of heaven. But I warn you that the gigantic mergers are closing little banks and making bigger banks more powerful. And the federal control over them is demonstrating that a power is coming into being greater than your freedom. And the manipulators are the merchants of Babylon. I point out to you tonight that we are in the latter days. Thus you can understand the strange conditions. Nobody knows whether you're going to have war or peace tomorrow, but you know if it's a peace, it'll be a betrayal, and you'll have a greater war the next day. But we do know that we are living in the climax of the day. There are many things which I could call to your attention. The idea of such a dictatorship uses the political ambitions of men as puppets. They provide for them advisors that are skilled in misrepresentation. The Federal Register of our government are filled with executive proclamations that carry the force of a law, but they are not constitutional. It requires only the making of an emergency to put them into effect. Yes, the mark of the beast reaches out for you. We have given you some warning of how it operates, or even now, how it's getting ready to utilize its power to be punitive against those that resist or speak out. We don't fear this power, for there's a greater one. The tares are going to go fast in the hour of judgment. Woe unto them that lift up their hands against my anointing. So we tell you that these are but the signs of the end of the age, the coming deliverance that is ours, but resist it. Speak out against it. Don't give acquiescence to the beast. Don't take its mark. Don't approve its purpose. Don't put your hand and do its work. God said, I'll put a wall of fire about you, and this kingdom under God, this nation, is destined to survive. The majority has not determined America's destiny. Unprecedented influence of unassimilatable minorities are confiscating your nation, and we're going to move them out with every process of law available. And if they use violence, violence shall be met with violence. God said, if they take up this sword against you, they shall die by that sword they pick up.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our costs plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.